Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more time for the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's clap our hands and give God. I do not know Kiefer, but my heart goes out to him and his family. We are praying for him and want to thank Josh and Sam and Gloria. She's not back yet, is she? No. And everybody and who's involved and sharing and ministering and doing everything they can for that family. And let's keep them in our thoughts and our prayers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's always good to be here to worship and to celebrate with my church family. Amen. It is always good to be here. And I was praying about what I should talk about or what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And then he directed my thoughts to how I got to Mimosa in the first place. And as I began to really reflect on the experience of just becoming a member here and getting on staff here, I thought to myself that, you know, Lord, you really used Rocky and the staff and the folks here. That was some good leadership. And then it clicked. Aha! You ever have one of those moments? Amen. An aha moment. And I just want to start off today with a passage of scripture from Galatians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I just want you all to know that I have actually lowered myself. Randall, did not bring my King James Bible. Okay. But Phil, I'll have you know that I brought my new King James Bible this morning. Is that all right, Nick? Is that all right? Praise the Lord. All right. Young people, make some noise. Now, repeat after me. Ain't no school. Come on, say it louder. Ain't no school like the old school. King James rocks. That's right. Can I get a witness? That's right. They looking at me like, what is he talking about? Praise the Lord. That's all right. One day that brother will be saved. All right. No, I'm having a good time this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. When you get there, say praise the Lord. If there was ever a passage of scripture that talks about leadership, it is this text right here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is what it says here. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. This is the good stuff right here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, Paul is preaching now, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. I want to talk to you about leadership. As believers in Christ Jesus, by virtue of the fact that you are saved, by virtue of the fact that you have been consecrated to a holy God, by virtue of the fact that you know the Lord Jesus, in the free pardon of your sins and in the power of his resurrection, you and I are leaders everywhere we go. Now, I didn't say we act like leaders all the time. But the fact of the matter is we are leaders and we are called to be leaders. Not just in what we do, but in the way we do it. As I shared with you before, I was born and raised in a town called Cleveland, Ohio, steel town. My dad worked in the steel mill for 16 years. That was hard work. Then after he left the steel mill, he went on and became a truck driver, you know. And he was a supervisor in the steel mill. He was in the military. And you know, he had this way of leading in our home. You do what I say or die. Can I get a witness? Anybody else ever have parents like that? Right? Amen. You do what I say or you die. Right? You know what I mean? And then when I got married and after my wife had our first child, although I was a Christian before I got married, although I knew the Lord when I got married, you know, I inevitably started to raise my children the same way my parents raised me. Now, yes, I will kill my... I'm joking. Okay, just joking. I've been tempted to kill my children. No. But, amen. Some of y'all know about that, right? But the point being is that is not the way that we as believers ought to lead in the home, right? We go to our jobs, right? And if we're fortunate enough to be managers and supervisors and that sort of thing on our jobs, we kind of lead with that dictator, authoritarian attitude. But I don't think that's what God has called us to do. God has called us to lead based upon our walk with Him and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So walk with me today through this PowerPoint presentation, all right? We'll have some fun, and I'll sit down and get out your hair, all right? Amen. There we go. Leadership, a definition. The ability to influence people to move in a specific direction, make a definite decision, or to accept a certain attitude. That's all leadership is. Leadership is the ability to influence people to move in a specific direction, make a definite decision, or to accept a certain attitude. Your ability to lead is based upon your ability to influence people. Now, when we start talking about influencing people, that's where we get into problems. My dad had this way of influencing me and my brothers with force. Amen. But you and I are supposed to influence people with the way that we carry ourselves. Not just with what we say to people, but how we say it. We've all been in church for a while now. And we've all had experiences, whether it be in this church or somebody else or another church that we used to worship at. And, you know, one person says something and nobody moves. But you let brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so say something and everybody's jumping up and down and moving and doing. What's the difference? May I suggest to you that one person is leading people based upon spirituality. And the other person is leading people based upon works of the flesh. Lest I get ahead of myself. Let's go to the next slide, please. There are many different styles of leadership. The style of the Christian should be that of godly character. I remember when I was younger, I used to think that character was important. Now that I'm a little older, got a few gray hairs, I'm losing my hair. And as my children remind me all the time, Daddy, your stomach is so big, it looks like you're about to give birth. Amen. Right? But now that I'm a little older and a little wiser, I've discovered that character is not just important. Character is everything. Character is everything. It's amazing how that works. You cannot do anything without good character. Character is not just important, it is everything. And young people, the sooner you discover that your character actually means everything in the world, the better off you'll be. Amen. Some of us discover that sooner in life. Others of us discover that later on in life. I never will forget there was this guy on our football team when I was in the eighth grade. His name was Scott Kessridge. Good guy, really big guy. And he was a fantastic tailback. But you know what Scott's problem was? He didn't want to follow instructions. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And finally, the coach, who also happened to be our American history teacher, told him, Scott, just get out of here. Now, I gave you the G-rated version. Amen. But he told him, just get out of here. Best football player on the team. Not only could he not play on our team, but he couldn't play on anybody's team. Because although he could run with the football, nobody wanted to be bothered with him. Character matters. Character is everything. Let's talk about leadership style. First of all, and by the way, I've messed up in all of these areas. Amen? Okay, let's be clear here. The first style is what we call the crisis leader. This is the kind of person who's always in a panic. This person says, if we do not do this specific thing in this fashion, then we are all doomed. You ever met people who lead based on crisis leadership? Right? There's always a problem. There's always a crisis. There's always a concern. If we don't go out and get the ice cream right now today, then we're all going to melt and dry out. Like the Wicked Witch in the Wizard of Oz or something. You know? Crisis leadership. That's no good. Because every time, if you keep crying wolf all the time, you know what's going to happen. People are going to stop believing you. Next slide, please. Then, of course, there is the corporate / political leader. If you do not do what I say, then we're not all doomed. You're doomed. You ever met people like that? I'm going to get you. Right? If you don't follow my leadership, if you don't do it my way, and if you don't do what I say, then guess what? You're going to be in trouble with me. That's no good either. Because you end up alienating people from you. And then when they get the opportunity to get you, you're going to get got. So that leadership style is no good. And then, of course, there's a third style. Consensus leadership. Building consensus by demonstrating the ability to make sensible decisions. This can only be accomplished through a godly example. You know the problem with this style of leadership? Let me tell you. The one problem with this style of leadership is the one thing that we always lack, and that is patience. If you're going to lead based on your godly character, it takes patience. As a godly leader, as a person with good character, leading out of godly character, you have to wait on people to get on the same page that you're on. Amen. Right. If you think it's time to sell your house and move out of your old neighborhood into a new neighborhood because you studied all the demographics and you discovered the community's going to change and in so many years, you and your family, you're going to outgrow that house and that sort of thing. And then you go to your wife and you go to your children and say, we got to move. We're going to put up the for sale sign. And they're up in arms because your children don't want to leave their friends. Your wife has gotten attached to that particular home. You just can't put up the sign in the front yard and say, we're moving. No. You got to wait and be patient and wait on everybody else to get on the same page that you're on. You cannot take that attitude, well, since I'm the man and since I pay all the bills and since I bring home the bacon and all that good stuff, it's not going to work. It just doesn't work. Think of it this way. Suppose we were not in a church. Suppose we were in some corporate setting. The reason why you do what the boss says is because if you don't, then you get fired. Let's just suppose we weren't in church and we weren't in corporate America. Let's just suppose we were in the military. The reason why you do what the general says is because if you don't, then you get court-martialed. You end up in the stockade or the brig or whatever it is, right? But listen, as believers in Christ Jesus, we need to lead people based upon our character. That is so important. We've got to walk in the Spirit. You know, as a pastor, I've seen so many people's marriages break up because people are not being led in families based on godly character. And that goes for the men and the women. It's all about character. Next slide, please. This sort of leadership is only as good as long as the leader has the authority to do so. I'm sorry, leading through power. Think of the military commander. We already talked about it. I got ahead of myself. Sorry about that. Next slide, please. Leading through position. Church leaders fall into this trap by thinking that since we have a position, then it is going to go my way. Oh, I've blown it like this a million times. You know? I don't know how many times I've been in meetings where I've been elected to be the chairperson of the Men's Day Committee or whatever it is that we're doing. And conflict develops. And I say, well, let me ask you this question. Whose decision is it to make? And they say, Al, it's your decision. Well, then the decision's made. That's no good. Because you end up disrespecting people. And I thought that I was standing firm and standing my ground. When in reality, all I was doing was just making a mess. Anybody in here ever done that? Yeah, I've done that, unfortunately. Next slide, please, unless I get ahead of myself. Leading through personality. There we go. This sort of thing works as long as everyone likes the leader. Yeah. Oh, man, you got to love that. Charismatic leadership. Don't you just love him? Oh, I just love him. Until he has to make some decisions that you don't like, then you don't love him anymore. See, if you're leading people because based on the fact that they like you, what's going to happen when they stop liking you? A good leader is the kind of person that says, you know what? I don't like the decision that she made. I don't agree with what she said. But I'm still going to be involved in this project, and I'm still committed to following her because I know she's a person of integrity. That's good leadership. I know for a fact that she's going to do what she believes to be in the best interest of everybody involved. That's powerful. Next, please. Leading through influence. Here we go. This is the kind of leadership that we strive for. Leading through character. That's what Galatians chapter 5 is about. You lead people because you love them. You lead people because you care about them. And guess what? They know you love them. They know you care about them. You know, I'm convinced. This is no exaggeration. I have the best wife on the planet. No question about it. I'm telling you. I don't know about anybody else's wife, but my wife is the thing. I mean, I kid you not. It's amazing. When we were in Ohio, the Lord put it on my heart to leave Ohio and go serve in Georgia. So I went to her one day. I said, baby, it's time for us to leave Ohio. God's calling us to Atlanta. She said, okay, Al, let me pray about it. And she prayed about it. And she came back to me a couple of days later. And she said, Al, you're right. It's time for us to go. And then we were there for a few years. And I got this opportunity to come to Texas, you know. And I prayed over it, and she prayed over it, and I came through it one day, and I said, baby, it's time for us to leave Georgia and go to Texas. And she said, okay, you're right. I can see the Lord moving in that direction. Not one time did she ever come to me and say, hey, Al, you have lost your mind. You know what I mean? She never came to me and said, Al, You are not in the spirit. Al, you are no. She never did that. You know what I mean? Now, she says some other things to me about some other things that I won't talk about. But got the best wife in the world. You know, she's always supported me, you know, in that regard. She's never challenged me. Oh, no, you're not supposed to be in. Oh, man, you're not supposed to be doing. Never. Now, she's challenged the way I've done some things, to be clear. But godly leadership means that we lead through character. Next, please. Here we go. Back in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As a sort of an epilogue to this whole thing, I talked to Rocky, I want to say on Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday, yeah. And then I got this presentation together for the sermon on Sunday, and I think I sent it off to Gloria on, I want to say Thursday. I think it is. And then yesterday, this horrible situation occurs with Kiefer out on the lake. May I suggest to you that God has given us right here in this congregation an opportunity to demonstrate some good leadership. Think about it. Is that possible? I'm no prophet. I can't see into the future. I have no crystal ball. But I'm convinced that God wants to use us as tools in his hand to lead people deeper into his love and further into his will. Oh, let's be clear. This is a horrible situation. And the question on the table right now for us here at Mimosa, we should be racking our brains trying to figure out, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want us to do to help this family? No. We don't have any magic wands. None of us are Harry Potter or anything like that. But we serve an awesome and a great God. And this is our opportunity to step up and figure out what we can do for this family. Amen. As we close, we want to give you an opportunity to come forward and spend some time in prayer with our people as Randall and the praise team comes forward. There may be something on your heart. You may be feeling like, hey, I haven't led my family the way I'm supposed to be leading my family in every aspect of our lives. I haven't led my business the way God has called me to lead my business. This is a time for us to get before the Lord and express those concerns.